Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure if we're on air or not, but Tina's having a really hard time coming through. She sounds like a chipmunk. So just give us a second and try to work this out. Oh man. It says you need to update Skype. Do you want to try calling into the show on your own? I'm not sure. I know that a Blog Talk had a warning about having an issue with Skype, but I'm not sure if that's an issue with Skype or Bettina's connection or microphone. Still working on it here. Seeing if she can get on. Apologies, everyone. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man. Go ahead.
Okay, so the power got cut off today.
Okay.
At some point, and I was out most of the morning, and then, you know, about 10 minutes or so ago, I said, okay, I'm going down to do the show. I sat down in front of my computer, and I went, oh, no, I have to boot it up.
Mm.
And then I boot it up, and it's like, of course, something's going wrong. It's not booting properly. So I actually had to shut it off and boot up again. But in the meantime, my Skype on my phone was ringing, and that's how I was trying to talk to you on my phone.
Oh, I see.
And all I could hear was you laughing and saying I sounded like a chipmunk.
Well, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to the first 3 minutes of this show. It's like a panic chipmunk, like on cocaine or something, like, because it was so fast and condensed, your voice.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I didn't say anything nasty.
No. No, it was completely inaudible. It was just so condensed, the audio. So it was actually quite hilarious. It sounded like panic.
I don't know why I was doing that. Oh, well, anyway.
panic.
Note to self, never do it on the phone.
Well, who knows? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
That's strange.
Yeah, anyways.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, there we go. Handful of bits into the show. I wonder if I should even play the intro music to kind of like signify, okay, we're here. I got to do it just for cutting the audios for purpose. Okay.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified. Conversations on Conscious Living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
All right, well, that kind of sets a marker. It's kind of like, you know, the ritual you do to, like, you know, center yourself. So.
Exactly. We'll start fresh now.
Absolutely. So hello, everybody. Hello, Tina.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How was your week other than the last 15 minutes?
My week has been really good, actually.
Yeah.
And lots of interesting things happening. A lot of insights that I feel are deeper and go beyond the more surface level of healing and personal development. So, yeah, it's been really good. Just really, really good stuff happening. I like it.
Well, I like hearing that for sure. I'd love to dive into it if you're open about it.
Yeah. So I've been doing this type of work, or been on this path, or however you want to say it, for 13 years now. And I've done a lot of self-development work. I've done a lot of healing. I've done a lot of letting go of old beliefs and ideas and patterns that I've carried around for, well, going on almost 60 years now. And the interesting thing is, and it brings me back to something that Ram Dass said that always sort of resonated in me and always seems to pop up from time to time, which is don't get caught up in the method. And the thing is, I started to realize that I was getting caught up in the method. And what I mean by that is that every time I felt angry or upset or fear or something else, I had this belief, like in the past, that I had to delve into it and find out what was causing it and let go of this and let go of that and let go of the other thing. But when I realized that, with a little help from Peter actually, that I had done enough of that, and that now I had to sort of reap the benefits of all the work I've done and all the letting go I've done and all the healing I've done. And having healed so much of that stuff, I was still getting caught up in it because there was this belief that I had to keep on doing, and I'm using air quotes, the work. When all it was is that now I'm in a place where I should just be able to relax and enjoy the ride. And when the anger comes up, to be aware of it and to understand it and to say, oh, right, I'm not doing that pattern anymore. I'm not falling for that anymore. To really watch the ego and to realize that what the ego has to offer is illusion and that what loving presence has to offer is the truth. And so really just now that I've done all that preliminary work, shifting into that place of loving presence, being able to be compassionate with myself. And I really wasn't being compassionate. I was being hard on myself because I felt there's more work to do, there's more work to do, there's more work to do. And then realizing that there isn't more work to do. It's just about taking everything I've learned and living from that place. It made a lot more sense, and I was able to have more compassion for myself. And in having more compassion for myself, having more compassion for other people. In A Course in Miracles, they say there's only two places that everything we say and do comes from one of two places, either a call for love or an offering of love. And I know and I feel and I really recognize this week that I want everything I say and do to be an offering of love, not a call for love. And that if someone meets me with a call for love, which, funny enough, in amongst all this, I've been given experiences where that has been put to the test. When someone comes to me with a call for love, I am trying to answer with an offering of love. Because if I answer with a call for love, it's going to deteriorate and it's going to cause conflict and it's going to cause suffering in me. And I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to live from a place of suffering. I don't want to believe the things the ego is telling me that's going to drag me down and put me in a place of suffering. I don't want to worry myself to death about money or whether people like me or don't like me. I just need to show up in that loving presence every day, and I need to always be in that place of offering love. And I can do that even if I'm feeling angry. Because if I'm feeling angry but I'm aware and I'm able to move through it, I can still be in that place of offering love. And so that's been kind of a huge thing for me, because I feel the shift throughout my whole physical body, but also my spiritual and my emotional body. It's like a suddenly an alignment that's happening, and it's comfortable, and it feels really, really good.
Yeah. Wow. What you said was so powerful there. That really hit home for me and really resonates also with my week, which is not often a surprise with when we get together on the show. I had heard that before. I've heard you say, you know, and coming from The Course in Miracles, about things are said only from a place of an offer of love or a call for love. I've heard that before, and it never hit me as hard as when you just said it right now, because you're absolutely right. You know, in a situation where we go off into a tailspin and we get angry for a few days over interaction with somebody, so often it's because, you know, they came for a call for love and we weren't, you know, I know you talk about self-compassion, but it perhaps my language won't be right, but it's like in that moment, knowing as much as you and I know, and as much as anybody on the spiritual search knows, you know, like once you, you know, when you talk about, I get it. I have enough tools. I've read enough. I've done enough work on myself. But when they come to us or myself for in a call for love, and in that moment, it can be like literally like 0.2 seconds where you decide, right? You get triggered. Your ego responds, and you don't come from a place of offering love. Instead, you respond with a call for love of your own, and then how that just deteriorates the situation, and then how both people get hurt, and then both people justify their positions, and there's you miss the common ground, and you miss, ultimately, their call for love isn't whatever it came out as. It isn't an accusation. It isn't a judgment. It isn't a deep resentment. It's literally a call for love.
you know, something in them is fearful or something in them needs to feel connection. And when we respond by asking for our needs, you know, and like, oh, I should know better. When I look back at these conversations and I look back at these places, I don't want to say where I failed, but where I didn't see the call for love as a call for love. I saw the call for love as a threat to me. And then I responded with a call for love of my own, saying, don't threaten me. You're supposed to be my friend or my lover or my partner. And then it's just fight. And then it's distance. And then it's separation. And then it's pain and suffering for what could be, you know, a short period of time if you're able to repair, you know, really quickly and recognizing each other. Or it could be days. It could be weeks. You know, with some relationships, it could be forever.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, what I was, one of the things I was really noticing is the thoughts in my head that were telling me, I didn't do anything wrong. With those thoughts was this vision of this little girl stamping her foot saying, I didn't do anything wrong. And all I could see in that whole little scenario of what my thoughts were telling me and what I saw was, if I'm that little girl stamping my foot saying I didn't do anything wrong, it means I think I did something wrong. And if I think I did something wrong, I feel I'm being attacked. If I feel I'm being attacked, I get defensive. If I feel I'm being attacked, it means I believe the other person's also doing something wrong. So... if we believe we're doing something, we've done something wrong, and it's really hard to admit that that's what we believe, but if we get defensive, it's because we believe we've done something wrong, then we're also making the other person wrong.
Hmm.
And that's not an offering of love. That's definitely both, you know, two little girls or a little girl and a little boy stamping their foot and saying, I didn't do anything wrong. And it's not about doing anything wrong. It's about, you know, really being aware of those old patterns that keep trying to worm their way into your life instead of, okay, you're aware of them, you've dealt with them. You know, how many times do we have to play this song over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
We don't. But we need to be aware so that that song doesn't play ad nauseum in our head. You know, we get that earworm, and if we don't pay attention, you know, when we're not paying attention, it's just like rattling over and over and over and over in our head and making us crazy, because
yeah,
especially if it's a song we don't like.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, though. It's like that earworm. And when we become aware and we say, right, okay, I'm not believing this anymore. This is not who I am. I'm not believing this anymore. Then we can shift back to that loving presence again. Then we can shift back to that offering of love. It's hard. It's really hard. Like, I'm not going to pretend it's easy. But just sitting for 15 minutes the other day and, you know, watching that happen and realizing what a story it was and what an illusion it was, and that the truth was, you know, and the hard part is to say the other person didn't do anything wrong either. They're not guilty of anything either. Because we can't have one without the other. And that's the part that is so sweet, when you realize that and when you can let that go and say, yeah, they're just crying for love right now. And, you know, if someone you loved came to you and was crying because they were heartbroken, would you kick them in the teeth? Of course not. You would, you know, gather them in and hold them and support them and be there for them and have compassion for them and give them all the love that you have to give, because you love this person. So when they do something that you deem or judge to be inconsiderate or inappropriate or mean or whatever it is, it's nothing more than that same thing about feeling heartbroken. And if we can look at it and change the way we see it, it makes it a whole lot easier to, as you said, to talk it through, to work through it, to be there in your loving heart for that person.
Yeah. Wow. You know, we talk on the show, we've been doing the show for a number of years now, and you know, the first time you said it, it hit me so hard, and I just thought it was so brilliant, and it just applies everywhere when you, you know, I really feel like, I don't know if you've, I think this is what I synonymize with you when I think of you, and it's like, create the grap, you know? And I can, you know, it hit me when I first heard it from you, I don't know, 6 years ago, and you know, it comes up in our shows, and then I like, you know, when I, you know, bungle something in life, and I'm like, oh, if I could have just created the gap at that moment, you know, and I didn't have to go down the rabbit hole of anger and fear and defensiveness, man, and I feel like it just plays out right here again, and it's that point where, you know, that other comes to us in that call for love, and if we can just keep it in our mind that every communication is an offer of love or a call for love. You know, if we are able to see it as a call for love right away, oh my God, can we not respond in the most like unbelievably supportive and terrific and connective and romantic and intimate way? But it's difficult, like you said, it is hard, especially when they come with an energy that triggers, you know, stuff from your own past or triggers you in a place where you are weak, or you're not in a place of like a great foundation to really see their communication for what it is as a call for love or an offer of love. And you say, you know, like when somebody you love or somebody you care for, or somebody you want to care for comes to you, you know, and says, you know, like I'm having this fearful thought, I'm hurting. And they might not, you know, they might be in their ego too at that moment too, and they might say it in a way that's biting or jarring, you know. But if we can be, you know, whole in that moment, if we can be not threatened in that moment, you know, and they're coming to us like that, and you say, you know, what would you do for that person? Would you kick him in the teeth, you know, as they come to you, like saying, oh my goodness, you know, like you're a beautiful person, I need your love, I need love from you, and you just go like F you and just fight back. And it's like of course not, you wouldn't do that, but we do constantly in our lives because we get triggered and the ego responds first and their ego responds loudest, something you also say all the time. And you know, when, you know, not only when somebody comes to you and you're able to succeed and just like with a, you know, absolute wonderful response, when you're able to offer love in that moment and you're able to receive them and create that loving space, you know, but then also when somebody, you know, has the foresight or the beauty or the wisdom to do that for you, I mean, the intimacy, and there's like, as part of the human condition on this planet, living a life, then there is nothing more gratifying and something we seek more than to have those unbelievably beautiful and intimate moments with another human being. You know, like it's isolating to live a life strictly from behind these eyes, you know, in this head, inside this body. I can't feel what other people feel other than through connecting with them or getting into a space of that loving presence and being able to attune our energies together. And boy, is it ever the greatest feeling of being alive. And it's in those moments where we have the opportunity and then to watch how in our lives we've let that unravel so many times over and over and over again with the different people in our lives when we had an opportunity in each one of them. And the good news is that the opportunities will not stop coming. They're going to continue to come. And if we can be better, if we can step into that next level of being present, then like what an unbelievably gratifying life we can expect to have from here on out if we create it, if we're present, if we're in the space where we're not in our past story, we're not in our past wounds, if we're able to show up in this moment with everything that we have right here now. I mean, a life, a truly, truly, truly beautiful and successful life awaits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, the other thing I talk about probably a lot is creating a safe space. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And it's so important because so many people don't feel safe expressing themselves,
mm-hmm.
men especially, because they're so afraid of being beaten down, of being bullied, of being ostracized because they're not acting in the true form of what, you know, some people believe it is to be a man. Yeah, and it's not just men, but I know it's a big problem with men these days. But to be able to express yourself fully and honestly, wow, you know, because you know that the person you're expressing yourself to is coming to you with an offering of love. Ugh, it just gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Nothing better, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah, and you truly transcend, you know, the physical experience, and you just feel this love. Just this is amazing. And the crazy thing is that it's always available to us. Like, all we had to do was meet those couple conditions. I mean, they're difficult ones to, you know, to always nail. But I mean, they're available to us in the next 45 seconds if we just do the things that make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
The great news is that there's 7 billion of us walking the planet right now. And it can happen with any one of them, you know, if we do the work. And it's just like, oh, my God, we're such powerful creators. There's so much potential. Like, we can feel so good. We just got to kind of just drop the story, be present, and do the, you know, do the work and have the tools. And, yeah, and really just enjoy, you know, working on that path towards mastery.
Yeah. And then we're connecting soul to soul. We're not connecting ego to ego.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's a much more comfortable place.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And truly gratifying. I mean, that word is just bright lights in the forefront of my mind right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that seemed like a few sentences, but now we've used up 20 some odd minutes. So we're at the
wow.
end of the show. And, it would be terrific. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, that's just a beautiful place to sit. If you'd send us off with a meditation into our day and into all of our future beautiful encounters with all the others.
Absolutely. So let's close our eyes and take a deep breath fully into your belly. And as you breathe into your belly, connect with that place within you. It has no age, has no space, no gender, no time, no limits. Breathing into this space, this is where you find the love and compassion, the beauty, the wisdom, the knowledge, the kindness, the peace. All lie in this place that is the foundation of who you are. And in this place, we can have a clear picture of what is truth and what is illusion. See the illusion and let it go. Allow yourself to go inward and to be connected to that loving presence that is who you are, and meet as many situations as you can in your everyday life with an offering of love. And recognize when the things that you say and do are a call for love, and try to shift. Shift into this place within you that knows all is well, nothing is wrong. We are each a spark of God having an experience as a human being through different perspectives. And we're all here, as Ram Dass says, to walk each other home. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Wow. Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
Well, that was a good one. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad we didn't give up after the audio problems.
Yes, me too.
That was really cathartic. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you all next time.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.